Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as always as we continue to investigate lies in our textbooks. We all know for the last few programs the lie which I am covering in this series of studying what the Quran said and what the Bible said about prophets and teachers. Once again, I would like you to hear this simple lie which your children and mine are learning in our textbooks in the public schools. A simple statement with a great consequence, for the students learn
in the textbook World Geography, published by McDougall Little, copyright 2005, on page 75. The religion, Islam, has close ties to the prophets and teachers of Judaism and Christianity.
Close ties. One of the same God, the same prophets, the same teachers, the same message. Is this true? As we already investigated the story of creation, Adam, Noah, Abraham, we discovered that there is no ties whatsoever. The more we learn about these stories of these prophets in the Quran, the more we will discover and will know for sure that Islam is a counterfeit of Christianity and Judaism. And to prove my point to you, today we will be comparing the teaching of the Bible as given by God through Moses to that which is written in the pages of the Quran and stated by Muhammad in the Hadith. So far we have seen that the stories of the prophets in the Bible does not match the stories of the prophets in the Quran. Add to that, what we will see today is that the teaching of the Bible is the opposite of the teachings of the Quran. So let us look together at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is written in the Bible in two different places. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and also in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let us examine these commandments of God's words in the Bible to that which is written in the Quran to see if there is any similarity between the prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and the prophets of Judaism and Christianity. Because if there is no similarity, we must remove this lie from our text book. Let us look together at the Ten Commandments. We read in the Bible, in the book of Exodus chapter 20, as God spoke the following word to Moses, saying in verse 2, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other God before me. Now, is there any similarity between these teachings and what is written in the Quran and Muhammad's words in the Hadith? No. As a matter of fact, if we open the Quran chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, Muhammad said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Well, I'm sorry. The God of the Bible, who is speaking to us here in Exodus chapter 20, is not the God of the world. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, we read that the God of this world is Satan. So Muhammad is not really worshiping my God, the God of the Bible, but he's worshiping Satan, who is also known throughout the Quran as the best deceiver. You can read this in Quran chapter 3, verse 54, and Quran chapter 8, verse 30, where Allah said, they deceive, but Allah deceive, and Allah is the best deceiver. We also know about Allah in the Quran that he leads people astray in Quran chapter 35 and verse 8. Well, the God of the Bible does not lead people astray, but he always leads people to guidance. And it's up to people to accept him, to believe in him or not. the God of Muhammad, Allah, He is the one who desired from the beginning, simply from the day Satan sinned against Allah when he refused to worship Adam. Allah said in the Quran that He will fill hell with people and demons. That is the desire of the God of Muhammad. That's not my God. Let's continue with Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. For we read, You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of any that is in the heaven, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Well, one of the great pillars in Islam is the Pillar of Hajj. That's where Muslims go and visit Mecca once in their life for those who are able. And if you are not able, somebody can go and visit for you. And if your grandparents are dead, you can visit for them one at a time. During this pilgrimage, Muslims circle around the Kaaba, the black building you see in Mecca. As you circle closer and closer around the Kaaba, you arrive to this black stone. And when Muslims kiss the black stone, they receive forgiveness of their sins, as Muhammad did early in his life. Khalifa Umar spoke to this black stone and he said, If it was not that Muhammad kissed you, I will never kiss you. So we see here that Muhammad broke the first commandment and he taught Muslim also to break it as he performed the holy pilgrimage of Hajj. How about the next commandment in the book of Exodus chapter 20 verse 7? For we read, You shall not take the name of your Lord your God in vain. That is, you don't swear by the name of God lying. But that is not what the Quran teaches. For we know, as we read in the Quran chapter 2 and verse 225, it is lawful for a Muslim to lie in their swearing. Here is the verse. Allah said, Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere utterance in an oath, but He will hold you responsible for that which your heart gains, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. While the Bible said you should not swear and lie in your swearing, because you are swearing by the name of God, Allah in the Quran is telling Muslim, it's okay to lie in your swearing, simply if you don't mean it in your heart. That is the opposite of the Bible teachings. Let us move to the next commandment. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 8, God said, Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you, your sons, and so on and on. Where can we find anywhere in the Quran where Allah tells a Muslim to keep the Sabbath holy? I know some Muslims will say, well, on Friday we go to the mosque and on Friday we pray. But on Friday, all Muslims work before and after the prayer time. Are Muslims breaking any law? No. Why? Because there is no law in the Quran or in the Hadith where in it Allah commands Muslims to make a holy day for rest. Let's move on. The next commandment in Exodus 20, verse 12. For God said, Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now the question, do we have any similar teaching to that in the Quran or in the Hadith? The answer is absolutely not. And it's very simple. We can go to the Quran, chapter 58 and verse 22. For there we learn that Muslim cannot be friend with anyone who oppose Allah and Muhammad, even if they were their own fathers. Listen to what Allah said. You will not find a people who believe in Allah and in the last day who will be a friend to who oppose Allah and His messenger, even if they were their fathers or their sons or their brethren, and the list go on and on and on. While the Bible said, honor your father and your mother, Allah in the Quran said, don't take your father or any of your family members as a friend if they oppose Allah or oppose Muhammad. While Christianity teach to love your enemy, Allah and the Quran command Muslim not to take their father or any family member as friend if they oppose Islam. Add to that, if a Muslim father or a mother leave Islam, the children are commanded by Allah to kill them. Quran chapter 6 verse 151. And this is the honor killing.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
Let's go on with the rest of the commandments which God gave to Moses in the Bible. We read in verse 13, you shall not murder. It's a very clear command. But what does Allah teach Muslims throughout the Quran? Hundreds of verses where Allah commands Muslims to engage in war, to perform jihad, to kill who? Somebody who killed one of the Muslims? No, simply to kill Christians and Jews. You see here, there is no similarity between the Quran and the Bible. God in the Bible said, thou shalt not murder. But Allah, the God of Muhammad, command Muslims to go out and kill Christians and Jews and anyone who does not believe in Islam. That is not just Allah's word in the Quran. It's also Muhammad's words in the Hadith. Muhammad said, I have been commanded to kill, to murder people until they believe there is no God but Allah, and to believe in me, his messenger. The Quran is loaded with verses where in it Allah command Muhammad to provoke Muslim believers to engage in war with people until people accept Islam. A good example of that, Quran chapter 8, 65, where Allah said, O you prophet, provoke the believers to engage in war. Let us look at the next commandment in the book of Exodus chapter 20. In verse 14, God said, you shall not commit adultery. It's very simple. If we open the Quran, we see Allah command Muslims to live in adultery. I know this sounds very harsh of me to say it this way, but that's a reality. When Muslim men are allowed to have four wives and unlimited number of concubines and slaves, when Allah in the Quran gives the Muslims the right to be involved sexually with married slaves and concubines, even though they have their own husbands, that is an adultery. How about what Moses taught about divorce compared to what Muhammad taught about divorce? It is completely the opposite. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 1 to 4, we read, when a man takes a wife and marries her, and it happens that she finds no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her, and he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. In verse 2, when she has departed from his house and goes and becomes another man's wife. Verse 3, if the later husband detests her and writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. Or if the later husband dies, who took her as his wife, then we read in verse 4, then her former husband, who divorced her, must not take her back to be his wife after she has been defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord, and you shall not bring sin on the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Do you understand these verses? They are very simple. A woman is married to a husband. If he divorced her, and then she left his house, and she married to another husband. If the new husband divorced her, or if the new husband died, she can no longer go back to her first husband. The Bible calls this abomination. The Bible calls this sin. Now let's look at what the Quran teaches about divorce. In Quran chapter 2, verse 229 and verse 230, Allah said, the divorce is twice, so keep them in fairness or put them away in fairness. Which means a man can divorce his wife two times, and in every divorce he can remarry his wife again within the limit of 3 months. If a man divorced his wife the third time, listen to what Allah said in verse 230. So if he divorced her a third time, so it is not lawful for him to take her again until she has sex with another husband. So if the new husband divorced her, then there will be no sin on them as they return to each other. Can you imagine? That is exactly the opposite of what Moses taught us in the Bible. If a man in Islam divorced his wife three times, he cannot be remarried to her until she marry a new husband and must have sexual relationship with him. And if the new husband divorced her, then she can go back to her first husband. I'm sorry, this cannot be the word of God. There is no similarity between the teaching of Moses in the Bible and the teaching of Muhammad in the Quran. Well, let us examine another commandment in the Bible. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, we read, you shall not steal. What is stealing? Stealing is to take something that does not belong to you. But what did Allah say in the Quran about taking the land, the homes, and the money of the Christians and the Jews? The Quran calls these the spoils of war. For we read in Quran chapter 8 and verse 69, after Allah commands the Muslim believers to engage in war, and not even to spare the lives of the captives, but to kill them until they made a great slaughter among them. Then Allah said, so eat of the spoils you have taken lawfully and good, and fear Allah. Surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. Taking the spoils of the Christians and the Jews, of homes, land, and money, wives, daughters, children. These spoils are nothing but stealing what is not lawful for Muslims to keep. And that's how, as I shared many times in the past, Muslims took over the Middle East. That's how they took over Egypt and all the 57 Muslim countries around the world. It was taken because Allah in the Quran said, it is lawful and it is good. That is a direct breaking to the command of God in the Bible when it said, you shall not steal. How about the next commandment? Where we read in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. God said, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And quickly I share with you, in Islam, Muhammad said, you defend your brother, find him not guilty, even if he was guilty. Muslims must set other Muslims free, guilty or not, of any crime they commit against anyone who is not Muslim, such as Christians and Jews. That is a direct practice to the opposite of what God said in the Bible through Moses. How about the next verse in verse 17? we read, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." And the rest of the command is written there. In Islam, Muslims covet everything they can. As a matter of fact, they believe that our wives, our children, our homes, our lands, our money is the right to take over. That's not my own word, but that is the word of Allah in Quran chapter 33, verses 26 and 27. Allah gives a Muslim the right to take land they have not even seen yet in Muhammad days. All the land of the earth belong to the Muslim, and all what's on this land of homes and money belong to the Muslims. So what do we learn from our radio program today? It's very simple. What we teach our children in our public schools, that there are ties between Islam and Christianity and Judaism concerning prophets and teachers. This is nothing but a lie, and we must remove it from our textbook. Not one story of any prophet or any teachers in the Bible match or had any ties with any of what is written in the pages of the Quran. And as I shared with you before, I'm only giving you samples. The rest of the story you can find in my new book, Exposing the Truth About the Quran, The Revelation of Error. And until we meet again in the next broadcast, as we look at what the Quran teaches about Jesus, comparing it to the true story of Jesus in the Bible, to respond to this lie which is taught to our children in our public schools. And until we meet again, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from Him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and He cannot allow sin into His heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that You sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite You to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.